Well, here we are for our roundtable, and this is a conversation. I'm trying to think, have we ever had this conversation or just not recently? We're going to talk about real estate, and not in some weird way of like lifestyles of the rich and famous, but just straight up, like, should you be considering as a young adult buying a home, buying a property? Is that a wise investment? Is that even possible for where you are at this stage in life? Is it possible for where you live in this country or in the world? And so we have a few different perspectives represented here. We've got James, Diana, and Brian. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello. All right. So I want us to start off by giving a little bit of a glimpse into where we're coming from, telling our unique stories. And so, Diana and James, I want you to start out and tell your story of how you got where you are right now, like where you are in life situation, what you're hopeful for. Brian here sitting at the table is a real estate agent and a friend of mine. So
thank you for having me.
But we're gonna also let you feel free to weigh in with personal experiences as well. You don't have to just have a professional hat, because you know what? You were like 20-something once and just scrambling and trying to figure out your life.
A while back. But
yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. Good grief. All right, James, you start.
All right. So where we're at now, it kind of started. So once we got married, my wife and I. I'm married, by the way, so I don't know if this like ruins the whole round table.
And this is boundless, James, by the way, you yeah, guys. It's not often that he crawls out of his desk to help us out, but
that's right.
You
are
like
my
in
cubicle.
Your 20s, you're like married and kids, but you're a youngster.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm 27, so I'm still in that age range of boundless. but after we got married, we started renting, and then life just kind of took us all over the place. So it took us to Chicago suburbs, California, and now here in Colorado Springs. So we kind of knew that we had to be mobile for a while. So we rented in each of those places because we didn't feel like it was time to settle down. But now that we're in Colorado Springs, we've considered buying, but it's crazy here.
Yeah, super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me the other day, I was feeling very depressed for you because you were saying you'd looked at this house that was like in the 200s or whatever, totally reeked of dog and smoke. And there were multiple offers on it within a day.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, it was a beautiful house. And yeah. My wife and I keep saying, like, if we were to design a house, it would be that one. Because it was, like, so cool. And the ceilings were wood. But that wood just soaked up all that smoke and dog smell. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, that's kind of shows the state of what it's like here. Is that, you know, even the house that's not that great. And I know people are going to do repairs, too, and upgrades. Mm-hmm. Like, that was hot. You know, it was within days that it was sold. So. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and usually we're seeing within hours here
yeah.
in our market, within hours. If you're in a price point that's below the average by a certain percentage, then the multiple offers, you're dealing with multiple offers and competing with people, it can be a tough situation, no
yeah.
doubt.
No, that's like super crazy here in this market. Okay, Diana, tell us where you are.
All right. So I am actually a homeowner, although technically the bank still owns it, but making progress towards mm-hmm. that. I moved from a smaller town in more of a rural community within the States to Colorado Springs. And it was very shocking to me, just the price, not just of buying a house, but also of rent. And so for me, after living here for a year, it was that decision point of, okay, so am I going to is it healthy for me to keep renting, or is it a better investment for me to go ahead and buy? And just in looking at all of that and analyzing numbers and neighborhoods and those kinds of things, I went for the buying route. And it was hard. It is a crazy market. And like Brian was saying, offers within hours. I would set up appointments to go and look at a house. And before I even got there, my realtor would text me and say, hey, by the way, they just got under contract.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, well, that's exciting. So finally found one, very grateful for it. It really is, for me, it's been beneficial to be a homeowner.
Yeah. Brian, when did you first buy?
So, you know, my wife and I didn't buy when I was single, but my wife and I, we purchased our first home, age 24.
Oh, wow.
Is when we purchased, but things were different
yeah.
back then. I mean, we had interest rates were considerably higher back then. We were super excited with a 9% interest rate. It was an
wow.
FHA loan, and you know, after the 80s with the 18% interest rate, you know, it was half of that.
Yeah.
So we were pretty excited. It was less than a credit card. But the homes were also a little more affordable here in Colorado Springs. And I think there's markets around the country that are very similar in that regard. And trying to find that first time home with folks is a difficult task. But I'm glad that as an analyst, you look at the numbers and you figured out that even if you have to spend a little bit more in today's market, or if you can afford a little bit more, the value of the return down the road, at least in our market, probably in a lot of other markets too, is very significant. Mm-hmm. And I think you've kind of figured that out. Both of you have figured that out, that it's better now to buy than rent.
Yeah. I bought in a good season here in this town. I had not owned prior. And honestly, I was telling these guys, I can't even take credit for it because it was my former boss who was like, why are you renting? You should try to buy. And so I was like, and of course, she didn't hurt that she was a real estate agent. So big sales pitch. So I went out with her and I was just like, okay. And, you know, you just get depressed because you're like, I don't even know. I mean, the only good thing was I didn't have to consider like school districts and stuff. So it's kind of the whole town was open to me. But I went ahead and bought. And, you know, obviously since then, prices have gone way up. I actually now, when I bought that house, I did not have a what would be considered a good down payment. I had just been renting. I hadn't saved a ton. So I kind of went in without that. And I've since refied on that house to pull out. Many of you know my story of moving my mom in with me to care for her. So I now rent that house and went in as an investment on another home with a friend. And so that one we had our heads on a little bit better. We actually had brought down payments and stuff, but you know, it's expensive. I mean, whoa, I do that. I have a roommate, so that's why that's happening. So mm-hmm. we'll talk about that mm-hmm. maybe in a little bit. But Brian, give us an idea here, just as we kick off, what are some of the, for the person that's like, huh, okay, well, maybe I've considered buying a home or you know, whatever we're saying, you know, it could be single family home, it could be buying, you know, a loft type thing, condo, townhome, whatever. What are some of the must-haves before even considering this? Like where would you advise someone to move ahead? Mm-hmm. Like say a young adult who's got a good, you know, stable job, but they're not, you know, a millionaire. They're not just raking it in. They probably have some student loan debt. They're probably struggling on a number of fronts. Mm-hmm. What are the must-haves for really considering this as a viable option?
Yeah, I think a proper mindset before you even start is where you need to be. People will think all the time, well, I'm just going to go out and buy a house. Okay, that's great. But the reality of the situation is, are you, number one, are you fiscally responsible with your funds, right? And so, you know, I read somewhere that 10% of people are tithing, you know, 10% to the church, you know, and it's kind of sad to mm-hmm. see that. And so, you know, when you go to a lender is really the first place to start. If you know an agent, great, but going to a lender and finding out what it's really going to cost you is a really good way to find out if you can handle it or not. Everybody wants to own a little piece of the American dream, right? And that's great, but you really need to find out first and foremost, can we really afford that?
Mm-hmm. And what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in thinking of that, what's a realistic assessment of what you can afford? Because, you know, some people will say, oh, you know, well, I've got two dogs, so clearly I'm going to need a house with this huge yard and whatever, or I want to build onto it or something. But maybe it is just getting, I mean, should they consider maybe a condo just to start out? Or is, you know, what are some questions that they should think through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So when I'm sitting across the table, and I do help a lot of single folks try to figure out where to go, and young marrieds as well, where, you know, they just, where do we go? Where do we go, Brian? And yeah, condo might be the good way to go, but a lot of times condos have HOA or homeowners association dues. Mm-hmm. And realistically, if you're putting $250 extra per month towards an HOA, you could probably afford X amount more of home mm-hmm. without an HOA. And so having a discussion with a real estate professional, is somebody that cares, is usually the best way to go, because you can really figure out and look that person in the eye and say, you know, here's your goals. Where do you want to be in 5 years? These are some of the questions that I would ask you if you were sitting across the table from me. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, condo might be the best way to go. You know, do you have pets? Do you do this? You know, what's the plan down the road? Do you think that's at some point you might get married, or you might have, you know, children in the future? There's a lot of what ifs mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And unfortunately, I'm not all-knowing in that respect. But,
right.
you know, it turns out that a lot of people can figure that out just through simple conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simple.
So I would say, I mean, I would say both James and Diana, you guys both have your heads on straight. What would you, like, looking at your experience of what, you know, James and I have had this conversation of, you know, he's all, like, into minimalism and stuff. So they're they're trying to be really sensible, you know, and Diana, I know you wouldn't do something super fiscally irresponsible. What did you have in your head when you thought, my first purchase is going to look like this?
I think for me, one of the key things is exactly what you just said. It's your first purchase. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes even when I've talked to people about, oh, my goodness, you bought a house. Like, how did you do that? And it's a reminder for them that it's my first home, not necessarily my forever home. Mm-hmm. And it's OK, especially if you're in a phase of life where you are a little bit younger, maybe just starting out or out just a little bit more. To start with something smaller, start with something maybe a little bit different than what you might dream of in the future. But to get it to a reasonable point of, you know, this is my first home and I want it to be great. I want it to be a good investment, but I know that I can maybe build from here as I grow, as my family grows. And even especially, to speak specifically to the ladies for a minute, you don't need all of the bells and whistles, but it is a good idea to find something that's move-in ready. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to use a drill, then either learn how to use a drill or maybe you shouldn't be buying a house. Mm-hmm. But just those practical things of, can you do home repair? Do you have a good community around you that you could connect with if something did break and you had to reach out? Mm-hmm. Just those practical things that aren't necessarily even fiscally responsible as much as, okay, if I go from renting to buying where I am my landlord, mm-hmm. can I take care of things if things maybe fall apart?
Yeah, sure. I think to that point too, for women, make sure that you make safety a priority. Mm-hmm. too.
For
I mean,
sure.
You want to probably spend a little bit more for a safe neighborhood or something that's going to have, you know, some element of, you know, whether a gate or whatever. I mean, I know my first home, I had 2 break-ins. I wasn't there, so I was thankful for that. But, you know, it was kind of sketch. And it, you know, just became a little bit of a concern for me. And so I think, yeah, you might want to sacrifice something else in lieu of mm-hmm. keeping that as a consideration. James, how about you? What are you thinking of at this point?
Yeah, so we kind of have, you know, that minimalist mindset like you talked about. And the house I mentioned earlier, it was just a ranch house. Mm-hmm. I think it had maybe 3 bedrooms, but one, like, big room that was kind of not a bedroom because it didn't have a closet, whatever. but, I mean, that's a one-story house, and that's really what we're looking for. Like, we're not looking necessarily to keep on buying bigger and better. We want something small forever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first house we want to buy, we're thinking pretty long term with that. Mm-hmm. So that's not usually the mindset people have, but, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at, because we're not about the big stuff, because that's just too much to clean, really.
Yeah.
But that's why you have kids, right?
Yeah, there you go. So,
well,
yeah.
And two, to that point, it was like, you know, I bought my first place and it had both a huge front and backyard. And I travel a fair amount and stuff. I don't like yard work. I don't like mm-hmm. gardening. I had a planter out in the front that it was my, like, I had to put it on a list and check it off every spring to plant flowers there, just so I wasn't the ghetto neighbor who didn't do anything in their yard. So, you know, you have to realize, like, you're either going to pay for that to be kept up or you're going to do it yourself, you know, mm-hmm. so just things to right. think of. Brian, getting back to you, what would you say, you know, kind of in light of this, you're thinking what Diana said, first purchase doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily have to be your forever home. It's an investment, whatever. What are the absolute top things to look for? I mean, we hear location, 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 but what adds value? What is necessary for a first home? What is, you know, what would you tell people to consider?
Well, Lisa, I think it really boils down to lifestyle mm-hmm. at that point. I mean, if you're thinking at some point investment, which is great. Owning a home is cool because you get to live in your investment. I mean, that's a really cool thing to do. But at the end of the day, it's about lifestyle. Location's key. How close do you need to be to work? You know, are the homes that are closer to work going to be considerably more expensive than the homes that are a 30-minute drive to work? Maybe, maybe not. You know, where do you want to be? Do you want to be closer to parks and this and that? And so the conversations that I have when I'm walking through homes, and I'm sure you've experienced it as well, would be something along the lines of, well, how often will you use the backyard? or how often will you need to go to the park? Mm-hmm. You got to go to work every day, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to figure that out. But location is key. I mean, at the end of the day, location is key. School district is a driving factor in most markets. I would guess even internationally and beyond, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just kind of like the kids at the end of the day, regardless of whether or not you're going to have children, affects the investment that you have in real estate. And so we would have that discussion too.
And maybe when you're looking at your first home, don't just be trolling through all the like model home communities that you can't afford, because that just sends me into a depression, because right. then I'm just like, I clearly want that. Mm-hmm. I still don't even have, you know, half the things that I ever said I would want at home, you know, and it's just kind of like, that's not attainable. They're staged. And you're going to have to live in this place. Right. Okay. This is not a, it's not just some show place or some hotel room. Diana, I want to get back to you because you and I have had the conversation about, and I think there are a lot of women out there who resonate with this idea of like, doesn't it seem like on the homeowner front, you either have women who are like, I'm never going to buy a home until I'm married because I feel like that's just something. Well, I mean, you know, worst case scenario, my husband's just going to rescue me from whatever horrible financial straits I'm in. So he'll buy a home and whatever. Or you find, you know, I've had, I remember in my singles group at church, it was like anytime we had some kind of social event, one of the women had to host it because the guys usually were like living in some frat house or were renting a room from someone or whatever. And so it was like kind of frustrating. There seems to be this disparity, mm-hmm. which, I mean, again, clearly like James is giving his example of like they've moved all over the country and whatever. So that's not always the case. But I think it does, you know, I know you've expressed some of your frustrations on this front before.
Yeah, I think that we have almost a discrepancy in our perspective as women, because on one hand we're told, you know, be strong, be independent, and on the other hand we're told, you know, get married, have kids. And both of those things I think have a lot of value if you approach it with a proper worldview and proper perspective. For me, it was one of those moments. I was actually talking to someone when I was getting my master's, and they asked me, they said, do you not want to get married and have kids? I thought that was a strange question. And I said, well, I mean, if that's what the Lord has for me, then absolutely, that would be great. But if it's not, then like this is the place of life that I'm in, and I'm going to capitalize on opportunities presented to me. And it's the same thing with buying a house. You know, if you're in a stage of life, you know, if you got a great job out of college, but for the last 5 years, you've been living in a sorority house, you know, with six or seven other girls, but you're to a point of, okay, I want to take that next step. I would say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take that next step about looking at buying a house. That's not something that should make you less attractive to someone because you were willing, you were able to take a step of maturity in this next phase of life. And if that is something that intimidates a man and makes you less attractive, well, then you probably don't want to be with him anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
those are my two cents.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that makes sense. James, what would you say, you know, keeping like markets and craziness, you know, out of play at this point? Because again, it's not like, you know, you haven't been looking and stuff and at different homes, but and you were in Southern California, which is also just horrific.
Mm. Yeah.
In terms of housing costs and stuff. But what are some of the considerations, speaking as a young adult, that come into play for you as far as like you're saying, whether concessions or priorities or how you've thought that through?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you're saying, work is kind of a big priority. Mm-hmm. You know, how far is this from jobs? Unfortunately, you know, the place we're renting right now is perfectly placed, but like everything around it is very expensive. Yeah. So we know we'd have to go to a different part of town that would make a commute longer, and that's something you have to do every day.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's not great. Yeah. You know, so that's a consideration. HOA fees are considerations because it's like, oh, this house looks reasonable. Wait, nope, HOA fee for like $500.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, there's just so many things to think about. We're probably planning on homeschooling, so that's like school district, thankfully, isn't as much of a you know, thing for us. But work is definitely a big one, I would say, when we're looking. But Yeah, and then also size, you know, where so many of the new houses being built are big and they're ugly. I'm sorry, but like they're just all beige, like beige sea of boringness. Because most of the trees haven't grown, it's just not very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you look at some of the older neighborhoods and it's like, oh, this actually has some character to it, but it's like not any less expensive. Mm-hmm. So, but I do find it funny when you drive by like a new development and it's like home starting at $350,000 and it's like, that's your starting place? Like what, you know, new family's going to go unless you have a really good job and be like, oh, that's a great starting point. So it I don't know. Like, I'm in ministry.
Yeah. So, right. It seems like we've come out of, I mean, Brian, maybe you could speak to this. We've come out of that era where bigger was always better. Like the behemoth homes that are cookie cutter in these huge developments.
Used
and
to
stuff.
Call them McMansions.
Yeah.
The McMansion.
Yeah. McMansions.
I have a lot of folks that are looking for smaller places that are just a little bit more dialed in, like cool stuff on the inside. They don't need 5,000 square feet and six bedrooms and a massive basement and this and that, because quite honestly, I'm finding that more people are trying to do things outside of the home again, which is great, which is fantastic. And I have single clients that are having the same issue. Homes are too big for the price point that I'm actually looking for. I don't want to clean it. My dog's going to tear the place up when I'm at work. So what can I do? Mm-hmm. And sometimes those smaller, like a tri-level or something like that might be a better, you know, with 1,200 square feet is all somebody might need, or even less at that point. And it's hard to find, at least in our market. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, for your listeners, you know, nationwide, they might be in a different market. They might have a market where the pricing is reasonable. You know, Colorado Springs average price point right now is $365,000. And so that becomes a problem when a lot of our teachings tell us that we shouldn't spend, you know, more than 2.5 times our salary. Mm-hmm. Well, that becomes a little more difficult at that point.
Especially for a 20-something. Mm-hmm. So let's, as we finish up here, let's just straight up give ideas for how people can make this possible. So, you know, helping to clear out some of the misconceptions, some of the overreaching, some of the, this is way beyond my budget. What are some tips that we would have for how can the average young adult make home ownership feasible in their life? And I'm going to kick us off. I alluded to this earlier. Consider having a roommate, a renter. Okay. Now, preferably someone that you get along with, without, various sociopathic tendencies. But, you know, I've had various roommates, you know, throughout my life so far, and I've had other seasons, longer seasons probably, where I lived alone. But it is like having gotten a roommate again, I am just shocked by, like, you can do stuff cheaply. So we have in our current place, we do have an HOA, and it's just like, wow, okay, so we can split the HOA, we split utilities, we split, you know, it's just, it just makes it more manageable. And I even know, I had a former coworker who was a single in her 20s who had bought a home, and she took in like she just rented all of her rooms. She wasn't even paying for her home. These people were paying for her home, okay?
Right.
So that was just like a great inversion of that, I think. I don't know. Other ideas?
I think something like that's kind of hard for young married couples is you can't really get a roommate.
Yeah.
I do know some people. Yeah, I have seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like I hear that it's difficult and things get kind of weird quickly.
Yeah. Easier if you have like a second level, like a basement or where there's a separate entrance.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be easier. But, you know, I think, that's kind of a hard factor if you just got married. And are you willing to have a roommate? Are you not? You know, looking at size, I think is a big deal. Like, what do you need? You know, that's something pretty important, to really determine, like, let's cut this out. Like, we don't need this. That's going to make this probably more affordable. Do we need 2 bathrooms? It'd be nice. Mm-hmm. But like need versus wants can be kind of an interesting conversation when you see how much things cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets lots of things to consider very quickly when considering like price points and whatnot.
Good point.
I think too, making a list being intentional about saying, okay, what do I need and what would be a nice to have? And then sticking with those things, especially on the need side. Lisa, you mentioned, you know, safety. That was an important point for me as a single woman. Okay, where can I be that is a decent neighborhood, that I'm not going to have to worry about paying $200 a month for a security system necessarily, or, you know, if I do, then that's something that I do, not out of necessity necessarily. But I also think just being intentional about what you want, in the sense of if home ownership is what you want, then invest your time in learning about what that means. Mm. Brian mentioned earlier, sometimes people approach it like, oh, I just want to go buy a house. Well, it's not like going to Walmart and buying a gallon of milk. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot more effort. And so educate yourself, give yourself time, set goals of, okay, so in 5 years, I want to have my 20% of a down payment saved up. And within that time, you know, in theory, if you've got a good job, you've probably gotten some raises, over that time, which may impact your ability to buy. And so just being very intentional about how you approach it and being willing to educate yourself so that you can do it well.
Yeah, I think just jumping in here to piggyback on that point, Dana, another great thing, you know, I mentioned having a roommate. The other thing is knowing that you want to buy, consider way scaling back before then. Mm-hmm. So this might be the time, rather than dropping $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 in rent per month, to go and rent a room from an older couple in your church, or to do, to really just sacrifice and be that person who you don't want to be. You don't want to be that, oh, I'm just living in their basement, whatever. But do it and just totally bank money as long as you can and make that happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's a great idea. You know, you're looking at your future self, right? Like trying to figure out, where am I going to be 5 years from now? And can I deal with what I need to deal with for the next 5 years before I get there? It's great. Planning is always a big thing, but you also have to be somewhat fluid in that. You can't be as rigid as some people when they come into the office and they're like, I need this, 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 and this, and nothing else. And it's a learning experience, I think, when you're going through it. Both of you experience that, I am sure.
Yeah. So, Brian, to that point, I mean, here we are talking about scaling back, going bare bones, doing, you know, getting as little as we can, especially for that first place. But how much do we have to take into mind if we want to sell this place in the future? Does it have to be appealing for a future buyer? I mean, what do we need to keep in mind in order to realize, well, at some point I want to turn this around and sell it?
Sure.
Do we have to keep things into consideration for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it always boils down to the conversations that you'll be having when you're searching for that home. Conversations that I have now with my clients have that in mind. This is an investment. James, if you were with me, I would say that's great that you think, you know, it's going to be your forever home. We'll find it. At the end of the day, there's always the what if. What if I have to sell? And the conversations that we have about the negatives of the home or the positives will come back out as soon as somebody else is looking at that home when you go to sell that property.
So what's an example of that? Like, what's an example that everyone should keep in mind when they buy, because it will universally affect the resale value of their home?
Let's go back to location.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I mean, and desirability of location can change over time in any given metropolitan or suburban area. But at the end of the day, trends don't lie. And so when we see those trends and certain areas are getting more return on the investment, you're gonna look at that location. But you also want to stay on trend with your updates and your upgrades and, you know.
So you're saying my first location next to a 7-Eleven maybe wasn't totally key?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that go to 7-Eleven.
Well, there are.
I mean, it's
convenient.
That's true.
There you go.
It is convenient.
Walking distance.
That's a selling point. It's convenient.
It is convenient. Now, I drive by that place all the time.
Yeah.
You know, since I work downtown, I know. And I'm so, like, hey, there's Lisa's place.
There's my
place.
So
it reminds me of you all the time.
I know.
When I see
there
that.
There I am. But. So, okay. Anything else that we should be looking for specifically? Diana, what do you realize now? Like, is there anything that you wish you would have done differently in the place that you're in, considering that on the front end, or anything that you would consider in the future if you were to buy again?
I think on the front end, I wouldn't let myself become so stressed within the process. Mm. I would have given myself more time. I approached it from a shorter time frame of when my lease was up than I thought that I needed to, in the sense of, okay, so I've got a few months of being able to look for a house while I'm renting without having to renew my lease on my rental. And just finding out within this market, because things do go so quickly. And being single, you can't, well, not necessarily can you buy certain things that maybe some other couples can have the ability to at the moment. And so for me, just being able to be, you know, Brian even mentioned it, being flexible of adjusting certain expectations, or even for me, being willing to put in an offer right away without having to think about it. That was really mm-hmm. challenging for me, because I'm very much a, I think I'm an analyst, so mm-hmm. I analyze. And I had to get to the point where I was spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit challenging. But I had just a really great realtor, and I would say that is an important key as well, is to find someone that you can work with well, who is trustworthy, who isn't just trying to sell you something, but actually cares about you mm-hmm. as the individual, and that makes a huge difference as well.
Yeah, I'm like totally the opposite. I like went into my first home and was like, yeah, I could put an offer on this. I think it was like the second house I'd looked at. And I was like, this looks good. Yeah, close enough, you know, whatever. And then turns out that they, by the time I put my offer in, there was already it was under contract mm-hmm. and stuff. And then I just looked at completely depressing places after that. And then I was like, I wanted that other house. And
right.
then
right.
fortunately, quote unquote, for me, it fell through. So yay. I was able to get it. But James, how have you guys had to adjust expectations? Like, tell us, like, what, because you're in the throes of this right now, tell us like what you're actually doing and the frustrations and the crazy in the midst of all of it.
Yeah, so I think expectations is like right now, realistically, how much longer we're going to rent mm-hmm. in order to be able to save more for like closing costs
mm-hmm. yeah.
or, you know, that 20% down payment. Like, how much longer do we need to think about renting? Because, yeah. you know, we have two boys.
I do want you to also mention, sorry to interrupt, but mm-hmm. You literally have weed coming through your vents
yeah.
in your apartment. So that's, it's kind of like, he's kind of like, we need to get out of here. We have kids,
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just
that's
lame.
Fair.
So that was annoying. Thankfully, it's been on the, like, it's decreasing.
Okay.
So that's cool. But that's actually an interesting kind of point, because we told the landlord and they're like, we'll put a filter into your air system, and that was interesting, you know, but it kind of is a bigger deal of that you don't have to pay for repairs and stuff, so it's kind of like that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, that's true.
And we know a lot of friends who bought houses that were old, nice little fixer uppers, mm-hmm. spent thousands of dollars on like mm-hmm. things they didn't know were
right.
part of the house
right.
that, you know, immediately that's just $10,000 they had to spend
yeah.
On repair. So it's like, oh, that's really scary.
Even with new builds, you're dealing with a new home. If you build a new home, you're dealing with considerably more expenses than maybe you had thought about.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Window coverings, yeah. landscaping, that costs money. And it's tough. And unless you have somebody telling you all that stuff, mm-hmm. you may go into something kind of blind at that
yeah.
point.
My current home was a new build, and the whole idea of picking out my own stuff was fabulous for about the first 1.5 days. And then it became a super drag, because everything that I really wanted was an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I was trying to settle for was like, what? You know, and then it's just, and you're just going to different places and looking at stuff that all starts looking the same. And so, yeah, it can be a drag. But James, to your point, I think that was a good comment about there are certain motivators to get out too and start mm-hmm. looking mm-hmm. to buy. I mean, it could be for someone, it could be they're living with their parents and they're like, it's time for me to get out and, you know, I want to start looking at buying. Or it could be some, you know, in your situation, just in not ideal situation for whatever reason. But, okay. So also in the midst of your search, and I want everyone to weigh in on this, where should people be searching? What are the best places to look to find a good place within your price range, to see what's realistic, to see what's actually available? What do we need to be doing?
Yeah, I want to hear from these guys, because I'm a real estate agent. That's my bread and butter. But I want to hear from
right.
you guys first to see what, you know, where you go.
I mean, I know
go
there are websites. Where do you guys go? I mean, I feel like...
I leave that to my wife.
Okay. Nice. I see that a lot too.
Where does she go, James?
I don't know. She talks to a lot of people. So that's kind of her thing. Like it doesn't stress her out as much as it stresses me out. So she kind of is cool with looking. But yeah, lots of talking to different people, lots of getting kind of insider opinions as to, oh, this is a better website than this one. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure of all the names, so I can't recommend anything.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it really depends on the market and the place in which you live. I would say for Colorado Springs, what I learned was that websites are not helpful because things go so quickly. Okay. So something I might see on Zillow, even if it's just a day old, is probably already under contract. And so for me, my greatest asset was I gave my realtor my list of must-haves and my cap price, like I will not go over this amount. And he was incredible to send me listings just right away on, okay, so this looks like it fits. And a couple times after we would go back and forth on like, yes, I like this one, no, I don't like this one, he became even more intentional about, okay, so I know that this is more within your liking. And as soon as we got into a groove, it really went quickly, and I trusted that he was going to provide me the best options for what I was looking for.
Interesting.
Okay. I like that answer.
Yeah.
I really do.
And he wasn't my realtor, but I'm sure he's great.
Oh, thank you, Brian. I was like, yeah, that guy wasn't your realtor. No, me. Right. I was not your realtor, which, you know, for us as realtors, I think in a lot of markets, we're dealing with third-party websites that take the data from what we provide with listings and all that data for solds and whatnot. Realistically, we could plug you into the multiple listing service and you have access to the data that we have. It's silly for us to think that the consumer in today's world, any consumer in today's world, can't have the information. And that's old school mentality. And we've brought, you know, we've come to a point where it's just like, let's just open it up to everybody. We'll give it to you. I'll create a search. But realistically for us, finding you a home is more about eliminating a lot of options versus finding the perfect one. And so we eliminate from here. We strike this one, we strike that one. We give you the opportunity to create your own search in that website as well. And hopefully, you know, the people that I work with, they've all loved it because they can create their own search. Sometimes you may have a conversation in your own head that you don't talk about with your real estate agent. And you think, maybe I'll go over to the northeast side of town. And you can do that online and you can go find that. And I think it's great that you're able to do that. So
yeah. So you're saying, I mean, to that point, there are some things that everyone should have in their head before they go find a realtor. Like first of all, they should have already had the money conversation, know how much they can spend. They should have a general idea of where in the city or town they want to live. I did not do that well. I told my realtor, I'm like, I don't know, just within this city. I just like all parts of it, you know.
But I think finding a good professional would take you to a spot where the professional would be able to say, okay, well, if you don't really know where you want to be, let's ask a few questions and get you to where you want to be.
All right. Well, these are all great ideas. I mean, it's like we're just getting started here with the many possibilities. But most of all, we want to be hopeful for you who are hoping to buy sometime in the near future and just figuring out what you need to do to get your ducks in a row. And so know that there is hope for getting that done and making it happen. And we would love to actually hop over, if you will hop over to the blog for the show and just look up 633, that's the show's number, and weigh in with any things that have worked for you, frustrations, ideas you would have for other folks. And we would love to break it all down so that we can learn from one another. So thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.